And you are listening to KBOO Portland, where it's a couple minutes after 10. You are listening to People Rise Up, which is a program made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and by the Portland Alliance, the city's oldest alternative progressive newspaper, reporting on issues ignored or distorted by corporate-dominated media, and providing a voice for social justice activists, environmentalists, trade unionists, and the progressive community. More information is available at 503-239-4991 or theportlandalliance.org. Bear with me a moment here. I'm going to switch off that fan. Much better. Okay. So, originally, I'm just going to mention this caveat because a lot of you will probably like to know the information that I'm about to mention. This show is originally going to be about efforts to save Portland's community garden program. At the budget hearing last night, it was announced by Commissioner Dan Saltzman that there will be no budget cuts for this year to the Portland Community Garden program. So, seeing as that was no longer an urgent pressing issue, I moved on to the next thing that I thought was really important, and that's the fact that John Bolton, recently Undersecretary of State for Arms Control, has just been announced as our new United Nations Ambassador. Here this morning to discuss John R. Bolton, I have on the phone Tom Berry. He's the Policy Director at the Interhemispheric Resource Center. Welcome to the airwaves, Tom.
Well, good morning. Actually, we've just changed our name at our 20th anniversary.
Since I talked to you an hour...
International Relations Center.
Oh, okay. Now, is that a change, like, since I talked to you an hour ago?
No. Okay. I forgot to mention it. It just happened. We just are just celebrating. We changed our name.
Well, at least you're able to keep the acronym.
Indeed. And we don't have to go through the interhemispheric, which is a difficult one to get out.
Well, now, before I begin asking you some questions about John Bolton and the significance of this nomination, I just want to share a little bit of background with folks, and we can dive deeper into some of this in the course of the conversation. John Bolton was most recently the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security in the first Bush administration. Prior to that, he's actually a signer on the Project for a New American Century letter sent to then-President Clinton. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He used to be the Senior Vice President for Public Policy Research at the American Enterprise Institute. He worked with James Baker back in the year 2000, post-election that year. He worked during the Reagan administration and first Bush administrations within the State Department, Justice Department, and everybody's favorite, the U.S. Agency for International Development. He also used to be involved as an executive in the Republican National Committee. He works as a member of the Council on National Policy. Is he a member of the Federalist Society, or does he just like to talk to them?
He is a member.
Okay. So there's a real quick snapshot of John R. Bolton. I'm noticing a real disturbing, and it's not just me noticing this now, but this is a continuation of a really disturbing trend in the, alignment of the perspectives of Bush nominees to not just domestic, but international posts. Why is having John Bolton be the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations just a bad idea, Tom?
Well, if you're now just getting disturbed, miss what's happened over the past 4.5 years, there's a lot to be disturbed about, and Bolton being the second official on the State Department during the first administration assigned to international arms control when the guy is a treaty killer was a very disturbing development. And now that, I guess it was surprising, stunning perhaps is the best word, because when Condoleezza Rice picked Robert Zoellick for her deputy, people were very relieved because Zoellick has a reputation as a more pragmatist and not an ideologue. And Bolton had been many suspected that Bolton would take that job. But with Bolton being a U.S. U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, really underlines, as you said, the rightist of the direction of the second Bush administration, not pulling back, advancing with the neocon agenda on all fronts.
John Bolton, February 3rd, 1994. Quote, "There is no such thing as the United Nations. There is an international community that occasionally can be led by the only real power left in the world, and that is the United States, when it suits our interests and we can get others to go along. And I think it would be a real mistake to count on the UN as if it was some disembodied entity out there that can function on its own." Now, he also once remarked that the 38 floors of the UN building seemed to be 10 too many. And I'm only imagining that the 10 floors he's referring to are those occupied by core functionaries within the UN.
That's right. And actually, if you take those top 10 floors off the United Nations, you get to the floor that gives contracts. And John Bolton has had a contract with the United Nations to negotiate a peace settlement in the Western Sahara. Opportunistically, he took that as you point out, that he is vehemently opposed to the very existence of the United Nations.
Well, not just the United Nations itself, but it seems as though he's not really much for multilateralism, which is...
Indeed, I would describe him... He's been described in many ways a unilateralist, but I think a more appropriate description of him would be an aggressive anti-multilateralist. He not just is bothered by international treaties that constrain the United States, his career has been to destroy those treaties, conventions, and institutions.
Yeah, I've got about 15 or 18 different newspaper articles here in front of me regarding this, and I'm just trying to, like, remember which pieces of what are where as the conversation moves forward. No great fan of his myself, but Senator John Kerry called the choice of John Bolton, as quoted in the Toronto Star a couple days ago, quote, "Just about the most inexplicable appointment the president could make to represent the United States to the world community." Susan Rice, a foreign affairs analyst at what the Star calls the left-leaning Brookings Institution. Yeah, well, that just shows how messed up the entire thing. Yeah. She called the choice of Bolton shocking and called his personal style, quote, "abrasive at best." Certainly an interesting choice for a president who has said he wants to make multilateralism a priority in the second term. I can only imagine that the European leaders that George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice met with in the course of the past couple weeks or so are just thinking, oh my God, what is going on? Are we being talked to out of both sides of their heads?
That's perhaps a reaction, but and at least it was the public reaction in terms of the willingness to countenance the possibility that there would be a change in direction of the second Bush administration. But I think that the European leaders, as progressives in the United States, realize that we cannot be fooled by that kind of rhetoric, that the administration has made it clear by its appointments of high officials and its actions in the international arena, that it's a very radical foreign policy agenda that it pursued in the first administration and will continue in this administration.
Now, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan had nice things to say about Bolton's appointment. And I'm curious if you feel like that's just him being politic because, well, he's going to have to work with him for a while anyway. It doesn't seem like the head of the UN would actually want the representative of what could easily be argued to be the most powerful entity making up the UN to have, well, such an adversarial perspective on the organization that he now works in.
Well, his job is a diplomat. Unlike Bolton, he knows how to say diplomatic things, and that he is not in a position to oppose a nomination by a member country. That it's hard to know what Kofi Annan really thinks, but one can only suppose that he is horrified, like the rest of the world, except for the neocons and the right-wing community in the United States. Bolton, on many occasions, has attacked Kofi Annan personally. But there is perhaps an upside if we're really, really searching for one. And I think that now the energies need to be put into opposing the nomination. His nomination to State Department and the first administration only squeaked by, mm-hmm. and one can only expect that would happen again at best, and perhaps he would be defeated. But an upside, perhaps, is that this is such is laying down the gauntlet. That Bolton is an ideologue, is abrasive, as was quoted. It's not a diplomat. States an ideological agenda very clearly, and that it will force the European nations and the rest of the UN, particularly countries that he's attacked, like attacked verbally and politically, like China, to take a more firmer stance in determining the direction of the United Nations and not letting the United States control it.
You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO in Portland and online at kboo.fm. My guest this morning is Tom Barry. He's the policy director at the Interhemispheric Relations Center, and we are discussing the nomination of John Bolton to be the new ambassador to the United Nations from the United States. You can find out about more about the International Relations Center online at www.irc-online.org. irc-online.org. And the People Rise Up website at kboo.fm will very shortly have a wide range of links to articles and analysis about John Bolton's announcement. Again, looking at another Canadian piece here from yesterday, the Globe and Mail, quoting Joshua Muravchik, a current fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, one of the more conservative think tanks in Washington, who is also a staunch critic of the UN and its perceived anti-American bias. He calls the nomination of Bolton a master stroke. Continuing, I'm very excited to learn about the appointment. He is not a committed isolationist. He is someone who strongly believes that U.S. interests come first and is vigorous in defending those interests. Muravchik said Bolton will exhibit the same style as, and here's some more laughter, get ready, former UN Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick. Everybody remember Jean Kirkpatrick? Reagan's UN Ambassador.
In your introduction, I may have missed it, but you didn't mention that he was a member of the Reagan administration, was brought in by James Baker, was widely considered part of a vanguard of new right lawyers, mm-hmm. part of the State Department and the agency. During the 80s.
Yeah, I kind of glossed over that in passing.
And also, he, as a member of the Reagan administration, later in the Justice Department, tried to block the investigations into the Iran-Contra affair.
Mm-hmm.
Would not turn over evidence that the Justice Department had to.
Yeah, among others, Jim Loeb at the Interpress Service had an article printed yesterday at Alternet that talks about his obstruction regarding the Iran-Contra affair. He also was a top aide for then Attorney General Edwin Meese. One more small quote here from Josh Muravchik at the American Enterprise Institute regarding Bolton's appointment to the multilateral body. It will, quote, put some pressure on the others to come to terms with us as we are. This is the real United States, George Bush and John Bolton.
Now, one thing that Marovcik, who's a leading neoconservative ideologue and a fellow with Bolton at the AEI before Bolton moved into the administration, I said that he was not an isolationist. Indeed, that's true. Bolton is not an isolationist, better described as an interventionist. He's expanded the axis of evil to include such countries as Libya and Cuba, and feeling that the United States should go after regime change and military action in those countries as well. And he also should be clearly described as a China basher, that he has a long-time agenda of trying to undermine and set the United States on a confrontational course with China. He's worked for the Taiwanese government, very close to the Taiwanese government now.
Well, let's go in that direction a little bit, because I've seen mentioned for many years, I mean, at least, at least 7 or 8 years now, of the Pentagon sort of assuming that one day or another, there's going to be a war between the U.S. and China, militarily, economics and stuff aside. This wouldn't seem to go anywhere close to sort of smoothing relations over. What do you think China's response to this might be? Or do you think people are just going to kind of wait and see and give Bolton a little grace period to see if maybe he could change his tune or moderate it some?
There's no one who knows Bolton who will say that he will change his tune. It's been very well established over the last 3 decades. How China reacts probably will react diplomatically, but as they they're aware that the United States is moving into the second administration, taking a more confrontational position with respect to China. We'll see that when the publication of the Quadrennial Defense Posture Review, and I think this month, will take a stronger position against China. And that it should be mentioned that John Bolton was one of the directors, the 5 directors of the Project for a New American Century, not just one of the signatories of their letters in the late 90s when it was founded. He was the director of that institution, which set the agenda. And at that time, China was at the top of their agenda, that changing the politics in East Asia was something that PNAC supported. Indeed, one of the first letters that they published and that he signed on to was taking a firmer stance against China in support of Taiwan. Of course, that moved down to the list of priorities after 9/11.
6 years ago, in a statement cited by the American Enterprise Institute, John Bolton noted that diplomatic recognition of Taiwan would be just the kind of demonstration of U.S. leadership that the region needs and that many of its people hope for. Now, I don't doubt that John Bolton believes that. Do you think people in the region outside of Taiwan feel that way?
No, and the question would be how many in the administration would support that position as something that not just a wish list, but something that they're going to move on. They've made it clear that they're moving much closer to Taiwan in terms of military aid, accepting visits by the president's wife and giving her through the National Endowment for Democracy and a Democracy Award. That Bolton, as the State Department, met with her at the AEI and when he was a State Department representative. These are all moves that that irritate China, but have gone against the kind of the policy of former administrations of not recognizing Taiwan as an independent country and not giving it the diplomatic status at the United Nations.
The last new topic I want to bring up, and then we'll sort of get to what can be done about this appointment, because it's not an etched in stone thing at this point. The International Criminal Court, established by a treaty in Rome, I guess about 6-7 years now. The United States is not a signatory to it, and the main justification is that, you know, if the U.S. were a signatory to the International Criminal Court, there just might be the chance that U.S. military people could be tried for war crimes. I know, it's an unheard of idea, but that's what the administration's concerned about. Undersecretary John Bolton was the one who signed the letter pulling the U.S. out of the International Criminal Court, and in an article you wrote in November of 2002, you quote John Bolton in his statement, when he signed that letter pulling us out of the criminal court, Bolton considered that, quote, the happiest moment of my government service. This, again, seems to be sort of intentionally provoking. You know, you mentioned earlier, Bolton says he's not an isolationist, but the way that he and the Bush administration in general are approaching multilateral efforts is, well, sort of isolating, isn't it?
Well, just the terminology, there's unilateral and multilateral, that he is certainly a unilateralist, and he's against multilateralism. He's not an isolationist in the sense he wants to have a fortress America and not engage overseas, that he is perhaps isolating the United States from the good opinion of the rest of the world, but he is in favor of aggressive global engagement. That's not isolationism. It's not isolationism to say that we want regime change in Syria and Cuba, and that we'll do and in North Korea, and that we will do anything to make that happen, including military invasion.
Right, but you can be isolating.
That's right.
And not be an isolationist.
That's right.
Maybe it seems like splitting hairs to some folks, but seems like an important point. Okay, we got a few minutes left here. I imagine the approach is to hound senators endlessly, possibly newspaper editors endlessly, about why this guy is not a good choice. Today's New York Times has a lead editorial called "The World According to Bolton," which it says, we won't make the case that this is a terrible choice at a critical time, but they have many, many examples of things Bolton has said over the years on, well, let's just say a whole wide range of important issues, International Criminal Court, UN dues, North Korea, China. So what's a good strategy here to keep this guy out of the UN?
Well, I think that that it should be initiated as an educational campaign to illustrate what really is the foreign military policy of this administration by explaining the career and the statements of Bolton. Hopefully, in that educational campaign that will succeed both in educating the American public about what really is the direction of this administration, and also creating pressure so that all of the Democrats, certainly, and some of the Republicans will oppose this nomination.
Okay. Do you think it makes sense to get in touch with newspapers above and beyond senators? I mean, the split.
If it's an educational campaign, we need letters to the editor, op-eds from local activists in their hometown newspapers, and variety of campaigns. I think that the organizations that support the United Nations will be holding demonstrations and forums about this. This is really an insult to anyone who supports global governance, collective security, international treaties, because this guy is so outspoken. There's no question about it that there's no room for nuance in Bolton's condemnation of the United Nations and all international. international treaties.
Very well put. Tom Berry is the policy director at the International Relations Center. They are formerly the Interhemispheric Resource Center, but nonetheless, they are still online at www.irc-online.org. irc-online.org. Thank you very much for joining us this morning to talk about John Bolton there,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, good luck in your garden project.
All right, thanks.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. And we got a minute or two left here, so as I disengage from Tom there, I'm going to just share a few little more tidbits of information regarding John Bolton on stuff Tom and I didn't get to talk about. Did we mention John Bolton is a really good friend of Senator Jesse Helms? In fact, Senator Jesse Helms, at his confirmation hearing to become Undersecretary of Arms Control, spoke of John Bolton as, quote, the kind of man with whom I would want to stand at Armageddon. And I'll just let that one hang there in the air. In 1978, Bolton helped Senator Helms' National Congressional Club form Jefferson Marketing, quote, as a vehicle to supply candidates with such services as advertising and direct mail without having to worry about the federal laws preventing PACs from contributing more than $5,000 per election to any one candidate's campaign committee. He later defended the club against charges from the Federal Elections Commission that led to a $10,000 fine in 1986. As a reward, Senator Helms helped John Bolton by supporting him for later Justice and State Department positions. Again, People Rise Up website at kboo.fm will have all sorts of links real soon to all kinds of articles connected to John Bolton. If you have any questions or comments about anything you heard today or any other day on this program, you can send me email at kboo@riseup.net. And don't forget, 3 weeks from today, no, wait, yeah, 3 weeks from today, I will have my first pledge drive show. KBOO's pledge drive begins 2 weeks from tomorrow. So keep that in mind and let folks know.